Hello, this is Karen from Earth Probiotic, and in our last podcast we talked about managing bokashi food waste at home, and now we're going to scale it up. So here's Gavin, who's going to be answering some difficult questions.
Yeah, Karen's got me on the spot here. Hello, everybody. Shoot.
So Gavin, so now we talked about managing food waste at home, and an average household will produce about 40 kilos of food waste in a month. How am I going to manage my 4 tons of food waste that I have as a commercial kitchen?
Okay, so maybe we should just take a step back. Because at the moment in South Africa, most people are just dumping that stuff into a landfill. But what we're seeing is very definite trends. Food waste to landfill or into the garbage disposal system has been banned in France, for example. Many other countries are following suit. New York, the city, has curbside collections. Some places in the UK are also doing that. So the trend is basically to eliminate food waste from landfills. And we see that coming in the city of Cape Town. I've said by 2022, which is only 3 years' time, that they want a reduction of 50% organic waste going to landfills. So organic waste would be food waste plus garden waste, landscape waste, and stuff like that. Joburg is following suit. And we can see that coming across all the way across in South Africa. So 3 years is a very, very short period of time to get your arse into gear. So the solutions need to be there, and people need to be preparing for that.
Quite right. And our solutions, we have solutions for anybody that has 3 kilos of food waste right up to 130 tons of food waste. So how would you manage it?
At the smaller scale, what we would say is less than a ton of food waste a month. We just scale up the bokashi system. So instead of having 25 litre buckets, you have 50 litre buckets, 100 litre buckets. You have, put these in the kitchen. You have obviously a bigger stock of bokashi, and you ferment your food waste, and that then gets composted on site, which is something that a number of our large clients do. Or that we offer a collection system where we can collect that and actually compost it off-site. In that environment, the advantage is that unlike a wheelie bin, which is open to the environment, you get the food waste will start rotting very quickly. But with the bokashi system, because it doesn't smell, doesn't rot, the collection frequency can be reduced, which means that there's a big cost saving. And not only is there a cost saving, there's a saving of environmental saving with not moving your stuff around all the time. So you're avoiding landfill, you're feeding soil, not landfill, but you're also avoiding, you're reducing traffic and collections and all that stuff that's on the road. So that's for smaller office canteens that are producing less than a ton of food waste a month.
So who would be a typical client that would generate, let's say, less than a ton of food waste a month? So you've got office canteens.
Corporate canteen. Most of our clients are corporate canteens, but also schools. Smaller hotels, especially sort of more sort of larger B&Bs and smaller hotels are using the system. So restaurants, especially independent restaurants that are sitting outside a mall, like in Parkhurst or somewhere like that, where they're managing their own waste rather than through a mall type system or a landlord type system. Those tend to be the ideal clients for that type of operation.
And for me, managing my, let's say, 800 kilos of food waste that I'm producing from my hotel, what are the benefits to me? So why would I use your solution and not just go ahead and keep dumping it? I know that legislation is coming in. I'm going to be forced in time to do something positive, but what's in it for me?
Well, I think that one of the most important things is that if you know what you're throwing away, you can actually manage it. So what we've seen with some of our clients is because they're suddenly realizing they're throwing away so much, they're going, what are we actually throwing away? And they suddenly go, oh, wow, I'm overproducing a certain food stuff on a Friday, or specific meal no one really likes to eat. And so that leads to wastage. So you can actually buy and produce smarter, which reduces your the wastage, which is a direct bottom line of reducing your food costs themselves. So the last measure we did with one of our clients was over a year, and this was a very large client, of a reduction of about 4.8%. of food costs, which is considerable. The other benefit is that you don't have all this leachate and broken dustbin bin liners, those black things that are leaking everywhere, which requires cleanup, which requires more use of chemicals. And we see consumable costs also reducing around about 11% over the year. So it's basically cleaning materials are reduced. So that's a direct saving. Then the other saving is because you don't want your food waste to go rotten, you're not going to have the waste provider coming to collect it every second or first day in the hot, like today, 32 degrees every day, but in a cooler thing every second or third day. So you're reducing frequent collection frequency, which is again a direct saving to the bottom line. And obviously there's the risk side itself. If the, like we sort of pick it up, goes on strike, you've got a lot of food waste sitting on your premises that is just going frotten. You can't have that for 2 weeks, so then you're going to have to do something with it. With Bokashi, it's never going to go rotten. It's going to sit there. You might just need a few extra bins to manage yourself over the period, and we do offer that facility as a rental, temporary rental, to get you over high demand periods.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. I wish I had a big commercial kitchen just so that I could have this solution. But also on the other end, so now my kitchen produces 800 kilos of food waste a month and I'm going to compost it on site. How am I going to do that? So I'm an office block. I employ people, but at the same time, I want to close the loop. Now I've made the effort and I've bought into your solution. I don't want you to pick it up. I want to compost my food waste on site and gain the benefit. So how would I do that?
So you need to work with your landscaping company. So we do a lot of work with Life Landscapes, for example. And the integration between landscape waste, which is organic waste, and your food waste is a fantastic combination. So you need to build some neat system. But a lot of these office parks actually have composting systems on site. Sometimes they just compost, which is just a dumping ground. They get collected and moved to. So manage it. Work with your landscaper to actually compost on site. Mix it with your landscape waste. And then you'll end up... I mean, I think it's sometimes very silly that people pay someone to take away their waste and then they buy it back as compost, whereas you could make half of your demand on site yourself. It's a bigger question, but talk to your landscaper if you have one, or you can give us a call and we're very happy to come in and train.
So it seems like you are saving money on not only on food costs and consumer bills, but also on potentially compost.
Yeah.
That sounds great, Gav. I think that this sounds like a fantastic system. That we've dealt with small amounts of food waste, let's talk about food processing factory, for example, or a huge hotel, or maybe even a casino, shopping center. How are we going to manage food waste there?
Okay, so the first thing is that in theory, because you can work at any volume, but as you get larger, you end up with a huge number of bins. And just like in a domestic system, that you have to have that two-week fermentation. In a large commercial system, you also have to have that two-week fermentation. So it becomes a management nightmare, which bins are ready to be composted, which are not, which are that. So that's why we've developed in-vessel composting systems. We launched in the sort of middle of last year a composting in-vessel composter, Earth Cycler, which can process up to 5 tons of food waste, including the carbon component. These are very small systems. They can fit into a car parking space. They're automated. You throw your food waste in there. The program, the touch panel will guide the operator on how much carbon to add in there. And that carbon can be anything from shredded garden waste to shredded cardboard, organic clamshells, those takeaway bagasse-made clamshells for burgers, those burger containers, old newspaper, paper, all those type of things. And those systems, they just need to be loaded and they run themselves. And once a week, you just empty the discharge a percentage of what's gone in, and you can actually put that into your garden, or just let it store for a while because it comes out very active. And those systems work really well. So we've got those systems operating in Zambia, Mozambique, Johannesburg, Botswana. Very robust, very easy to use. We've put a lot of effort into making sure that the operators don't have a hassle when they're using them. And then at a larger scale, we have what we call a Heron in-vessel composter, or Heron IVC. And our largest machine of those can do up to 45 tons. So those machines are ideal for universities, shopping malls, large corporate campuses, things like that, where you're feeding, you know, a few thousand people a day. So we usually calculate, we can calculate how much food waste you're generating by looking at how many people are being fed through the canteen system at any thing. So also for hospitals, both of these systems can work depending on the size of the hospital. Prisons, all of these systems are available and can be placed on site at these places.
So let's talk about the Earth Cycler. So the Earth Cycler is manufactured here in South Africa. It is designed locally. It is designed that any mechanic, any sort of qualified person, no matter how small the town, there's an AFGRI, there's somewhere for you to buy the parts, so you don't have to fly a technician in from Sweden.
Oh, you're asking me a question.
Every time something breaks down. So tell us about these machines.
As you said, yeah, we spend a lot of time making sure that the parts are readily available anywhere in Africa. And that's why we've standardized parts, the bushes, the bearings, all of these things are readily available. All can be found in a local town or city in near where you're working. So there's no hassle. You don't have to go back to Europe or Japan or anything like that to buy these type of parts. And we deliberately made sure that these machines are easy to operate. Easy to repair. Yes. And unlike John Deere and companies like that, you have the right to repair our machines. And we encourage that. But also because they're simple to repair, we're really happy to train when we come in and do implementation and installation and training and all that stuff in a remote part of the South Africa or Southern Africa, that we would train a local guy or woman to actually be able to manage the thing and see what's going wrong and easily repair the system. But one of the things that we've put in place is these machines have incredibly sophisticated remote access capability. So a machine sitting in Botswana, if it has an internet connection, we can actually look at what's going on with that machine, measure the output, the input. If anything goes wrong, we can troubleshoot it from here. And even then, we can even give directions to the local operator by WhatsApping them, because everyone in Africa has a WhatsApp, saying, hey, your machine's a little bit overloaded, or this has happened, that's happened, this is what you need to do. And at the same time, that data from those machines leads into dashboards. So if you're a safari operator with multiple lodges in a specific country or even across countries, these dashboards can actually feed back to you the amount of food waste that you've composting and what your environmental impact, positive environmental impact of that composting process is.
And this data is very important to many companies that are required to report on certainly their environmental impact, regardless of what that is, and this allows them to seamlessly integrate this data into their monthly reports quite easily, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, very easily. So they can directly access the data themselves. We just give them logins to the machines and the data, so they can use an existing data provider or dashboard provider to integrate that into their system, or we can do that ourselves for them. So, and what we've really seen is that any company in South Africa that's is an international company or is operating internationally tends to have a very, very high awareness of food waste and what to do about that. And I think local companies are still, pure local companies only operating in South Africa are getting on board. But at the moment, the trend seems to be that multinational companies are more attuned to this.
Very much so. And tell me about, is the machine expensive to operate? What is it going to cost?
So the cost of our machines, because they're locally manufactured and the rand is pretty weak, they're very, very affordable. But from an operation point of view, very low energy. The Earth Cycler, for example, will consume less than 40 kilowatt hours of electricity a month, which means it's very easy just to plug into an off-grid solar system or even a battery backup system, because if things go wrong, you don't want your food waste to go rotten. So very easy to back up with off-grid systems. And that's it, really. That's the only operational system they'll have. If you're wanting live dashboards and things like that, then there will be a small monthly fee just because of data and hosting services and things like that.
So these machines sound pretty clever. What do you see, what additions do you see in terms of the technical data that you would like to see on these machines? What would clients want in the future?
Well, at the moment, what we report on is the how much product has been put into the system, and how much compost has been generated. We also measure the temperature, so we can tell how hot the compost is getting. It's very important that the compost gets hot at least over 50 degrees Celsius, in order to ensure that any pathogens in that matrix are killed, sanitized. is a better word. I'd like to see sort of more sort of sensors put in there that measure humidity and also ammonia uptake, because ammonia would indicate that there's not enough carbon being put into the machine. So it's been more around management systems rather than specific technology itself.
And it seems that it's very easy to operate. The operator would have some training on loading and discharging the machine. And is the type of input, so the food waste that you'd add, is it, do you have to treat it first, like with Bokashi, or can this just be raw food?
No, you just add raw food in, and then we inoculate it with the Bokashi, but as a once a week input, about 1.5 kgs. And that's really just to keep it healthy, add some beneficial microbes into the system, some variability because diversity is really important into the composting system itself. But it's, you know, so 6 kilograms a month on the earth cycler. When it comes to the IVC, it's about 25 kilograms a week, because especially in the larger ones where you're doing up to 40 tons of food waste a month, so 100 kilograms of Bokashi into the system again. But that also helps deal with seasonality, because we eat different foods in different seasons. And also, again, it's just adding diversity and microbe diversity into a population. Like everything in life, diversity is important, although Donald Trump doesn't think so.
Well, we won't get into American politics right now. And I think, thank you, Gavin. We're going to end this podcast. We have talked about small waste, food waste recycling solutions, now larger. And I look forward to our next podcast.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to look at more, we have YouTube videos on these two machines. So anybody can go to our YouTube channel, Earth Probiotic, or our website, earthprobiotic.com. And there's a commercial solution section there. They can check it out. And drop us a line if they're interested, to want to find out more. And if you're in Johannesburg or in the Okavango, we can maybe organize a trip for you, but probably not the Okavango, I wish. So drop us a line, and thanks very much. Thanks, Karen.
That's a pleasure.
That sounded a little bit like an infomercial today.
Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.